Hey there, wild one. I shut my phone off today. Like for all day. A friend came over and she sat with me and she just held space for me. We ended up getting pizza and watching our kids play and did our own version of TGIF. It wasn't my normal one. Now I'm sitting here recording this episode 2 days, quote, late. Said I would drop episodes on Wednesday. But tonight is the night before a memorial that I have, and I'm feeling everything. I needed to say this because this week was hard. And it reminded me that life isn't about staying on schedule. It's about being human. It's about choosing soul over scroll. And honestly, that might just become my new mantra. Because I don't want to build a platform that performs. I want to build a village that feels. And if you're listening to me right now, I think you might too. So I want you to take a big breath and let this one land. If you're walking through grief right now, I see you. I feel you. I'm there too. And this episode is one small way that I'm finding my way through. I was supposed to drop this episode on Wednesday, and I didn't. Someone very close to me passed away tragically this week. I just couldn't even think about posting anything. I needed to honor what I was walking through before I could show up for anyone else. And honestly, I couldn't bring myself to post anything. Everything felt heavy. It was way too much. This episode originally recorded a simple act of kindness at a strawberry patch. And it felt way too light and way too small. Shallow even, like I was gonna toot my own horn. I had just recorded an hour-long conversation about moms helping moms and being kind to each other in public, and suddenly none of it felt like it was enough. And then I zoomed out, and I remembered what this episode was actually about. About seeing people. It's about what happens when we show up, when we act on a gut feeling. Even if it feels small. Because the truth is, I showed up for the person I lost. I listened. I checked in. I made time. Most people don't. Not because they don't care. Because we're all so overwhelmed and distracted and exhausted and busy, and we wait to show up until people are gone. We're so busy with our own lives, and it's easy to forget that we're not here to get through. We're here to care. We need to shift from me to we. Because showing up doesn't have to be heroic. Sometimes it just starts with one gesture. Helping somebody with a cart in a grocery store. Making a phone call. A text that tells someone, hey, I see you. This episode was meant to be about motherhood, about moms helping each other out. But really, I think it's about something so much bigger. It's about the kind of world that we want to live in. It's about listening to your gut instead of numbing out. About being the person who makes space for others instead of walking right past them. I pride myself on doing what I say I'm going to do. That's integrity. And whether we've met in real life or you only know me through these episodes, I want you to know that you can count on me to show up. Even when life is hard, especially when it's messy. I may need to pause sometimes, like this week, but I'm not going to disappear. If these episodes are a lifeline for you, or just a small place where you feel seen, I'm not going to let you down. I also will not sugarcoat things. I say hard things. Not to stir the pot, but because someone has to. And yeah, people get mad at me for it. But I've learned that usually they're not mad because I'm wrong. They're mad because I hit a nerve that they haven't been able to face yet. But the reality is this. When you start letting other people live in your head, you lose yourself. You filter your truth. You shrink your voice. You second guess your gut. That's good boy, good girl conditioning. That's people pleasing, and I'm done with it. I am here to live on purpose, not to make everyone else comfortable. So if you stick around, just know this space is built on truth, on heart, and on real conversations. Reclaim your rhythm. Rethink the rules. Rewrite your life. This is Wildly Intentional, the show where we question the scripts we've inherited and build a life, family, and legacy on purpose. If you're done living on autopilot, come with a curious mind and a courageous heart. Here, we talk about what it means to question, unlearn, create, and build what truly matters. I'm your host, Mandy, maverick mom of three, maker, family culture builder, lifelong question asker, and the friend people call when they're ready to rethink, well, everything. I'm here to shake the norms, tell the truth, and light the way forward. This world's moving fast. AI might be taking over our minds, our screens, our scrolls, but we as humans, we still have our hearts. And the simplest thing that we can do is use them. Reach out. Check in. Make the call. Kindness doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It just has to be real. Genuine. So today, I'm sharing Erica's story. It's how a moment of overwhelm at a strawberry patch turned into a ripple of small, meaningful acts. I invited Erica to my farm to share her story, what this moment meant to her, and how it stayed with her, and how it's changed the way that she shows up for others. And one day, a couple weeks ago, she loaded up two of her three kids. She got stuck on a level B road on her way to come here and talk to me. And if you don't know what a level B road, it's like a dirt road. This is a woman that was a stranger 6 years ago. I still don't know her very well. She was willing to do all that to come tell what this story meant. Small things matter. So I'm going to stop for a moment and cut to a piece of that interview I did with her that was going to initially be this entire episode. I'm going to cut to her perspective of what happened that day, and I'm going to let you hear from her.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for buying the berries all those years ago. So that day, my secondborn was born in end of February 2020, and my oldest was 20 months older than her. So with him, I did go and do a lot all the time, and I imagined I was going to bring his little sister along with him, and we were going to go and do all the things we normally do, which is music lessons and story time and swimming and park dates. And we're all kind of aware everything shut down a couple weeks later. And so going and doing as we did previously was not part of that time of parenting. And so I don't know if you know this actually, but I had not taken the two of them out together by myself ever. So I had actually driven to the strawberry patch the day before, and which is not super close to my house, maybe like 25 minutes. And so I had driven there and the parking lot looked really full and I panicked and I turned around and I drove all the way back home.
Oh.
Then the next day I gave it another shot. I had never used my double stroller outside of just taking it out of the garage and onto the street. So I never folded it up. I didn't even think that a double stroller is not going to work well at a strawberry patch on uneven terrain.
Sure.
And I just never handled or balanced taking two kids by myself anywhere, let alone to a strawberry patch. So they hadn't been to the grocery store or the library. Walks around the neighborhood, yes, but we have home base.
Right.
You know.
The stroller's set up in your garage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it was already very daunting. It was equally as packed, if not more packed than the day before.
Hmm.
But I told myself I was going to do it. And I had promised my two-year-old that I was going to take him to get strawberries and do all the things that you had imagined, like making jam and pies and eating fresh berries. So I was determined for his sake and took out the double stroller. And just like I said, you're not thinking, it's packed. We're parked what felt like at the time far down the way. I couldn't really navigate the stroller on the ground, but I hadn't brought a backup baby carrier or anything else. And then I'm also trying to balance that holding a strawberry basket.
Right.
Trying to not have him eat all of the strawberries before they get into the basket. And it was really hot that day. The sun was blazing. It was hot. And I had all the dreams of an Instagram-worthy set of photos and the beautiful strawberry picking and coming home and doing all the other beautiful things. And that day was just anything but that. Sure, we made it out to the row and we got some of the berries, but it was not long before everyone started to melt down. The baby started crying. I'm sure she was uncomfortable. I think she wanted a nurse. And then my son started to get pretty visibly upset because I said, we have to go because the baby's crying and I need to tend to her. And now we're out in the strawberry patch and everybody can hear us.
Yeah.
Everybody can see you. There's no barriers. There's nowhere to go. You're just out in an open field with everybody else.
And no shade.
And no shade. And so we took much less strawberries than we anticipated to go wait in the checkout line, which my son was upset about. And there was just meltdowns happening in that line. And we were probably, I feel like in my mind, we were way at the back of this long line. We were probably like the 10th people in line, I think.
Which I feel like is pretty far back.
Yeah.
For the situation.
It felt like it was not moving particularly quickly.
It was not. I remember
that. And I think you were like maybe second in line.
Yep.
Or third in line. You were up towards the front. And what I remember from my perspective is you coming to me and saying, give me your berries. And I kind of looked at you dumbfounded and you said, give me your berries. I'm going to pay for them and I'm going to bring them out to you at your car. You just get your kids back to the car. And I just followed suit. I remember not thinking about it, not questioning it. And you brought me the berries, I remember, in like a bucket to my car. And I was able to start feeding the baby. The air conditioning was rolling. My son was calming down. He might have even been starting to fall asleep. And it felt like the car had become peaceful. And then you brought these berries and I asked you what I owed you and you said nothing. And I know you said normally I'd offer to hug you, but I will just let you, you know, I'll let you just have this moment. And you handed me the berries. And I know you offered a hug. You said, if you want a hug, I can see you're feeding your baby and everything. And you just handed them over. And that was it. You didn't give me a name, a Venmo, you know, nothing. It was just a very simple moment. But for me, it was the first time I had had anybody just step in to help, especially somebody that I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I've thought about that as years have gone on, and I've tried to do little things. It's much easier to do them for people you know, and you know what their boundaries and right. comfort levels and all those things are. But it can mean a lot too when it comes from someone who has no other ties to you and they're doing nothing beyond just trying to be a helping hand.
Immediately after I recorded this conversation with Erica, I knew I wasn't going to air the whole thing. And she did too. I knew I needed to record that conversation. I just wasn't sure how I was going to use it. I've been thinking a lot lately about what kind of world I want to help build. And it's one that moves slower, sees deeper, loves better. But sometimes we don't need to change the whole world. We just need to notice someone who's quietly falling apart and say, I see you. This episode is a lot heavier than I planned, but I needed to speak it out loud and on purpose. So if you've been listening to me since the beginning, or if you've listened to a handful of my episodes, then you know that I've talked about my roots here. In episode 3, I talk about how my ancestors helped settle this area. And in episode 5, I talk about the complicated story about the land that I live on and the story it holds. So this episode today isn't just personal, it's cultural. You know, I've really been struggling this week. Because when someone dies tragically in a small town, whispers start before the grief even settles. So when we talk about rebuilding the village, we can't do that without naming what broke it. You know what a big part of that is? Gossip. Let's be honest. Gossip is a generational curse that is dressed up as concern because we've normalized it in families, in communities, in churches, in small towns. We call it venting or sharing or just being honest, but let's call it what it really is. It's disconnection disguised as care. It's people choosing whispering over presence. And it's intentionally excluding past office tradition. And it doesn't just happen in middle school or online. It happens in families, in town halls, around kitchen tables. It's the reason some people stop showing up. And I'm not naming names. That is not what this is about. But I will say this. If your version of connection requires someone else being cast out, that's not love. That's control. Villages fall apart when we stop making room for the full humanity of each other. When we stop asking ourselves, I wonder what they're going through. And we start saying things like, hey, did you hear what they did? It falls apart when we stop leaning in with compassion and we are reaching for the story that we can repeat. If we want to rebuild the village, we have to stop the cycle. We have to be brave enough to hold the messy middle, to check in with others instead of checking out, to care more about connecting than control. We have to choose support over stories that aren't ours to tell. And we have to stop pretending that keeping the peace is the same thing as creating peace. So this part of the conversation is landing a little sharp. That's okay. Sometimes the truth cuts before it heals. But if this is hitting something in you, maybe it's time to pause, reflect, and ask yourself, am I building the kind of village that I'd want to be a part of if I were the one in a crisis? It's not harmless. It's not just how it is around here. It's a legacy of disconnection, and it runs deep. And here's the hard truth. If you are talking about someone that you wouldn't talk to, stop. Either reach out to them, show up for them, or like Thumper and Bambi says, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all. Because what we really need in moments like this isn't more noise. It's more presence. The world is heavy. People are carrying things you can't see. And sometimes the kindest, most courageous thing that you can do is check in. We have to move from me to we. From passive scrolling to active presence. From gossiping to really supporting. That's what I am trying to build here. A space that's rooted in integrity. I show up. I say what I mean. I do what I say I'm going to do. Even when it's hard. Even when people hate me for it. I know my voice makes some people uncomfortable. And it's not because I'm reckless with it. It's because I refuse to play small to keep others comfy. If you're here, I want you to know, you can count on me. I'll speak the truth, and I'll speak it from my heart, and I'll keep showing up, especially when it matters the most. So if this episode feels heavier than usual, it is. And you might feel a shift in me from here on out. I'm not sugarcoating things. I may start speaking a little more plainly. I might even start cussing a little more. Because life is real, and I want to show up for it honestly. Before everything happened this week, I was able to get a little ahead on recording. So the next two episodes are already recorded. They're lighter, but they're still meaningful. They're two good, grounded conversations that will drop on the next two Wednesdays, like usual. And I'll find a couple of hours between now and next Wednesday to schedule them. And in the meantime, I'm giving myself a little space to breathe, reflect, heal, grieve, and come back stronger. And when I do, I hope you're still here, helping to rebuild the kind of world that we all want to live in. One that's not just addicted to scrolling past everything, that slows down, looks up, and says, I see you, for you, for the truth. For the village. Not for the kind that gets passed down quietly and harms people, but the kind that heals, that sees, that shows up. You don't need to spend money on strangers to make a difference in their lives. You don't need a tragedy to wake up. You just need to care. Because to be blunt, without compassion, curiosity, and community, without heart, the very thing that makes us human starts to break. Technology can replicate intelligence. It can simulate voices, it can write poetry, it can play music, it can even mimic care. So if we trade human connection for convenience or attention for algorithms, then yeah, we're going to be in trouble. But the thing is, you're here with me right now. And you're feeling me. You're showing up. And you know where we are. And by we, I mean humanity. We're at a frickin' crossroads. I've already said it. You feel it. Everyone knows it. The world is heavy right now. AI might be trying to take over our heads by replacing our brains, but that's only going to be if we let it. Because we humans, you know what we have that AI doesn't? We have our hearts. Let's not forget how to use them. Because if we do, if we lose our hearts, we lose everything. AI can take over our screens. It can fill our feeds. It can mimic anything. But AI can't feel. It can't grieve. It can't ache for someone that you love. Or give you goosebumps when a stranger shows up for you in just the right way. It can't hold space. It can't sit with you in the silence and say, I get it. From a place of lived experience. That's on us. As people, as mothers, as storytellers, as wild ones, as members of a world that is aching for connection. We've been conditioned to doubt our own knowing, to outsource truth, to scroll instead of sense. But do you know what's real? That quiet nudge inside of you. The moment you feel something and you think, I should reach out. Or when someone randomly pops into your head, that's your gut. That's your spirit. And more often than not, it's right. So don't dismiss it. Don't overanalyze it. Act on it. Call the person. Say the thing. Make the move. The world needs less performance and more presence. And here's another thing I think that we've forgotten. We don't all have to agree on everything. We don't have to vote the same, worship the same, raise our kids the same, or make all the same choices. But we do have to live together. And if we want any kind of future that feels worth waking up for, we've got to remember how to get along with each other. How to hold space. How to disagree without discarding each other. That's village work too. And people like you, taking the time to tune in, you're already lighting the path forward. Listening to me here with my grief. Being a mess. That's heart. That's hope. That's human. Someone's crossing your mind as you're listening to this. Don't overthink it. Call them. Text them. Say hi. Because it's never just one thing that breaks someone. It's a million little things that pile up. But it can also be one good thing. A moment of kindness. Of presence that helps them hold on. So just be kind. Show up. Open your heart. Be the person who reminds someone they're not alone. Well, they're still here to hear it. If you're not sure how to start the conversation with the person that's on your heart, just send them this episode. Sometimes hearing the truth from a voice outside the circle is exactly what someone needs to come back to themselves. And if you're the one walking through something heavy right now, the noise feels too loud, or if you just find yourself numbing out to get through the day, I want you to remember these three words. Soul over scroll. Turn down the feed. Tune into your breath. You don't need more information. You need actual connection. You need people who see you. A space that lets you be fully human. That's what I'm building here. And if you're here, you're a part of that. I want to close this episode by saying thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being a part of this village. Not the one that we lost, but the one that I really believe that we can rebuild on purpose, with heart, with intention, with truth, with small gestures, brave conversations, and moments where we actually stop to see each other. Because the world is already so full of noise. It doesn't need more of that. It needs more heart. And that starts with us. This is Mandy, signing off. Until next time, stay rooted, be brave, and live wildly intentionally.